Hello? Can you hear me? Great, and welcome. My name is Jakob Gottlieb Svendsen, and I do a lot of automation. You might have seen me before. Was anybody here last year for my session about SMA? Okay, one. So, that's not a good comeback rate, or what do you call it? So, first I would like to ask is, how many here is using Orchestrator today? Okay, so how many has already moved on or is planning to use SMA, the PowerShell based? All right. So I have to ask in general, how many here do know PowerShell? I mean, can do PowerShell? Don't have to be an expert, but I mean, when I asked in 2007, there was nobody. We would be lucky to get somebody in the room too, for some PowerShell, but but now it's really popular. And what I'm going to show in this session is there is some PowerShell techniques in it, but it's mostly focused on different scenarios where I've tried to put up some scenarios. Some have come from my customers or maybe little simplified versions of them. And some of them are something that I've used in my workshops, for instance. So I have a number of different examples of how you could automate things. And you might have seen that I sometimes bring a little Lego robot. I haven't done that to this year. The Lego robot is all stressed out. He can't do any more sessions. He had too much work to do, I think. But I have this little scanner here just to have something that's not just a computer, which I'm going to use later. But let's take a look at it. First, a little introduction. And then I'm going to talk about this, an example where I use Configuration Manager and Intune together. Together with SMA to monitor jailbreak telephones. Then I'm going to talk about some techniques in how to create monitors in SMA. Then we're going to talk about a SCUM and virtual machine manager example where I extend a virtual drive. So if a server runs out of disk space, we can automatically remediate that. And for that, I'm of course going to use some of the techniques that I've talked about. And also, later I'm going to talk about using Operations Manager Recovery Action to do this stuff. How many of you use Operations Manager today? Usually there's a lot. What about Config Manager? So it's not, you don't have to sit here all hour with your hands in the air, but it's nice to get to know where people are. The last one is combining Service Manager and the Self-Service Portal with importing computers, and then having them imported into the different systems, both Service Manager and Config Manager. I don't have a change here, so I have to go up here. First of all, the SMA is part of the Windows Azure Pack. And the Windows Azure Pack is kind of like an advanced portal, you could call it that, much more than that, but it's kind of a layer that you put on top of your system center to actually help execute. Oh, thanks. I forgot mine at home. The ones that I didn't break, I forgot at home. I don't know why I always break them, but I do. I won't break this one. So, anyway, we have our system center here, and then we have the Azure Pack on top, which makes it easier for us to provide self-service so that people can automatically administer their virtual machines, for instance, or they can automatically have, we don't have to do all the stuff for them. They have a self-service portal, a very advanced one, where they can go in and administer their websites, their databases, and also their virtual machines. Part of this is the automation, which is then, of course, since it's just on top of System Center, the automation is run by Orchestrator and the SMA, the Service Management Automation Engine that was added in Orchestrator 2012 R2. So that's just a short introduction that this is based on System Center, but you'll see me connect to the Windows Azure Pack portal to actually administer all these runbooks. Not going to use too much time on it because it's not a complete introduction to it, but the PowerShell, the SMA is based on PowerShell. It's based on PowerShell workflows, which makes it easier at least for us to do specific things like we can actually save if something fails, we can easier resume from a specific position. We can easier maybe copy paste between them. We might have easier access to a PowerShell expert than a classic orchestrator, runbook expert. So there's a lot of good things about having it based on PowerShell, which you, of course, probably know. The good thing about running it, I mean, most people run some PowerShell somewhere. And I usually ask my customers, well, do you have any scheduled tasks? That might be the first question. And they say, yes. And then I say, do you know where these scheduled tasks run? And they say, no, you don't really know. And I, none of the customers I have in here today, of course, they are not like that. But but there is some, you probably have seen it in your own environments at your customers, that they have a lot of, they maybe have a few guys that can do automation, they can do PowerShell, or do kick scripts, or batch files, or whatever they do, and they try to automate something, and it's kind of spread all over the place. So the good thing about having a centralized system here as Orchestrator SMA is that we have a centralized database to actually save all our stuff in. We can save all our credentials, we can save all our runbooks, which is, in fact, PowerShell workflows. So this means also when we trigger some action in this system, it doesn't just, we don't trigger an action and say, you, computer, you should run this PowerShell. We just create a job that says this PowerShell has to be run, or this runbook has to be executed. And then we have what's called runbook workers, which will then go in and trigger the actual automation. And this leaves us at the line where was at here, because this makes it possible for us to scale to hyperscale scenarios where we could have hundreds of these servers running PowerShell, or maybe even thousands. I haven't heard about that yet, but it should be possible. Since it's PowerShell, we are using PowerShell modules. So it's there is a lot of PowerShell modules out there, or you can create them yourself. So therefore, it's much easier to find a PowerShell module that can be used against some kind of third-party system than it was when we had the classic orchestrator integration packs, which there wasn't that many of. And then I just have a link in the end. You can get the slides afterwards if you want to read more about SMA and be introduced to it. But let's take a look at some of the more detailed stuff, because one of the things you could do in classic orchestrator was to monitor something. So you had a runbook running, and it would check for a new alert, for instance, in SCUM. It would check for a new search request in Service Manager or something like that. In PowerShell, we have to write this ourselves. So we can do it in several different ways. And in the main stuff, this is the most basic monitor you can write. It says you have a workflow. You always start a workflow like that. Then you have a loop called a while loop, which will, in the parentheses here, you to type in when it should run. And since I just write true, it'll always run forever. We can then do some work where I've written the do work, and then we can sleep it for a number of seconds or minutes or hours, and then we can run it again. So as I said, we monitor by using a loop. We check the target. We find the new alerts, for instance. We go and we trigger some action if we find a result, and then we sleep for X number of seconds or hours. And this is the most simple version of it. But this is not the recommended version, of course. We're going to look at some more advanced ones. But before I do that, I'll go into the scenario about Configuration Manager and Intune. How many use Intune today? A couple. How many manage their cell phones or mobile devices through any system? Could be Intune, could be something else. All right. But you might want to in the future. Because here we have a scenario where we have some mobile devices, and people, they run around being mobile, so they're not on our network, of course. And the nice thing about Intune is, of course, that it's cloud-based. So this means that no matter where they are with their cell phones or tablets, they can always connect, as long as they have internet, of course. The nice thing about Intune is that you can connect it to a config manager. And then from your on-premise config manager, you can then control what happens to all these devices in Intune. So What we need here is, first of all, I want a collection in service manager, in config manager, which will contain all the devices that are jailbroken. Next up, I want to have a collection with all the bad users, the users who have actually jailbroken or rooted their device. Some people ask me afterwards when I've talked about this subject, they say, well, why do you want to monitor this? Yeah, well, if you have a rooted Android device, somebody could easily install some kind of malware to it. You can have some copies of, I don't know, the newest game for the Android phone downloaded from a torrent, and then somebody has put in some kind of malware or worm in it. So what we need to do here is, of course, we have a runbook that can help us, because luckily Intune can easily find the jailbroken devices. It's built in. It's really simple to add. But we need to figure out who is the user of the device. So that's where the runbook comes into play. So whenever it finds a jailbroken device, we're going to trigger some runbooks that will go in and figure out who is the bad user who has the device, and then add this user to a collection. And then we can actually lock down the user. We can lock down the device. We can wipe the device. Yeah, we can do many things. First of all, I would recommend maybe a warning. And then after 3 days, you can delete all their contacts. Might not be good if it's the CEO or somebody important, but what the hell. We'll maybe make a list of people where we don't want this to happen. But I mean, you see, if I show it in Intune and Config Manager, first thing I want to do is to connect my Config Manager to Intune. And I need to find the right console here. There we go. When I do that, of course, I don't want to do that now because it takes some time to synchronize and so on. When I do that, I actually get a built-in query. I can show it to you here. So if I create a collection, I actually forgot to remove it. I can, inside one of these device collections, I can add a query rule. And the query rule, there is a list of them you can import here. And if you look right here, there is one called all jailbroken and rooted devices. So it's built in. As soon as you connect your Intune to Config Manager, you'll get this query. Jailbroken. Put this in here. And when the collection is updated, well, it was already from before, so I can just continue. You'll see that any rooted device, and this is my old iPhone, jailbroken for development purposes, of course. It's actually how Kent found this in our configuration manager. So as you can see, it's really simple to create the collection, put the user in here. What we then want is to actually check using the runbook. So if I go in and I find my administration site for my Windows Asia pack, I have all my PowerShell-based runbooks in here, and I go into the monitor SCCM jailbreaks. It's the simplest one in this demo. And here comes the first. Let's see, this way, yes. As you can see in the middle here, we have the while monitor is active, and we have the loop that I talked about before. We also have the sleep right here. And just above that, there is a call to another runbook that actually does the check and that adds the user to the actual collections. So first of all, the first good practice is always to keep the monitor runbook and the actual executing runbook in two different runbooks, because it's much easier to take this part out and test it automatically instead of you having to trigger this loop all the time. So that's a really good idea to do. Another thing is that when you run something forever, it's never good in any computer situation. I mean, of course, the service should be up forever, but what if it only has one log file and you write one line to this text file every minute and it runs for 10 years? Then you got a pretty big text file. That's the same thing about everything that runs forever. So a job in SMA doesn't want to run forever either. What you really want is to actually refresh itself within a specific interval. Because of course, if you start this and it will run forever, you can open the job You can see what result and which computers have or jailbroken devices has been found. But if it runs for a really long time, if you have a stable system and it doesn't stop for the next 2 years, well, then the log file in here, the log data that it has to save, gets really big and it's not really nice to work with. So the first trick here is to actually put in something called the refresh time. I should show this by marking it here. So before the monitor actually starts, we'll go in and pick up what's called the this one called the monitor lifespan. It says how many minutes should this loop be running, this monitor be running, before it refreshes itself. So it says, in this case, 24 hours. So what I do below here is to actually calculate what time of day is it now when we started. Actually calculate when is 24 hours from now. That's what this first line does. Next up, we actually calculate what time is it now compared to the refresh time. And of course, this should be when we just started, should still be 24 hours. But an interesting thing happens here, because when the loop runs, every time it has done run execution, it'll check, okay, has the time of day reached when I need to refresh? Is the date less than the refresh time? If it is less, then, well, then I should continue. But if it's over the refresh time date, it'll actually jump out of the while loop and go and quit the actual loop. So the next thing it needs to do is to actually launch itself. And of course, since this is called SCSM jailbreaks, I could go down here and write. Right here. Whoops, American keyboard. I could write here the name of the runbook, but here you can actually use a built-in parameter in PowerShell. That's called workflow name. If I go back here. Workflow command name. This one called $workflow command name will always contain the name of the runbook running or the workflow running. So if I want to the workflow to start itself, well, we just call it again. This enables me to actually have multiple log files in here. Don't want to save. Right now, it's usually when you start it, it doesn't show you old jobs, so I just see. Oh, I thought I had some in here. Sorry, I might have cleaned it up. But what you'll see is that instead of having one job that runs forever and gets the biggest log in the world, you get multiple jobs every day and it restarts itself again and again. Let's try and start it. Whoops. Just run it in here instead. So when you start a runbook in SMA, it creates a job. This time I run it in the testing console, which means that while I have this draft version open before I save it, I can actually, before it's checked in and replaces the original one, I can actually change it and test it and make sure it's working. And we can then see if it actually adds the user to the collection. So what should happen now is, of course, that it checks. Oops. First thing I have is to actually click on the right console here. Yes, and we have the user collections here. And we'll see here in here that there is actually a user added. And you can see there is actually there's been created a direct membership for this user because the runbook actually found the user. You can see here, I also write out what's called debug messages, so you can actually see what happened here. So what happened was that this runs in a loop, and it actually checks these, it actually executes the other runbook here. I'm not going to go too deep into the specific Config Manager stuff. That's normally my colleague Kent or Kaido who does that, or the five other people we have who do Config Manager, like half of the company, is that what it does is it's just to use a simple Config Manager query here to actually ask for who is the primary user of the device, and that's what Config Manager actually knows about automatically. And then when we find the user, we just add the user to the collection. And of course, these are also available afterwards if you want them. As you can see here, then we start. And right here, I just add the user. So you can see when you do it in modules where you have one runbook to actually execute the action and you have one runbook to do the monitoring and the looping, then it becomes a little bit simpler than if everything was in one big runbook. Yes. Well, let's continue to the next ones. First off, as I said, you should refresh the monitor once in a while. If you write out a lot of stuff to the output, I would not do it every 24 hours. It could be every 4 hours if you want to. So it really depends on how often you want to do it. Yes, and then you could use this workflow command name to actually trigger it again. Of course, we can, as I said, when we find the user, we can then warn the user. I mean, if then there goes a day or two, we could then add some automation that will actually block the user from using his email, either from everywhere or from just from the telephone. And if they still haven't replied back to us within 7 days, we could wipe the telephone. And as I usually say, if it happens second time, we could use some simple PowerShell to remove the employee and then get a new employee. Of course, we all know that's how people work today. They work like a machine, like a commandlet. It's simple to do. Anyway, let's continue to the next, because a lot of times I've seen at my customers is that they want to monitor alerts in Scum. So we have an agent in Scum which actually has some data source, as it's called, where it checks for some things that could go wrong and something happens. I mean, it could be, in my example, it's the disk base who runs out. It creates an alert when it switches the state in Ops Manager, and we can then have a runbook that then goes in and checks for new alerts of a specific kind every 10 seconds, every 20 seconds, or how often you want. So this is the first example. Afterwards, I'll show you some other techniques of how we can get rid of the monitor and actually trigger it in another way. The first example here is, again, for Scum, where we go in. I go in and we have the runbook. And we have a client or a server who has low disk space. So the low disk space actually creates the alert in Scum, right here. And we have the runbook checking to see if there is an alert. So first thing, when the runbook finds the alert, it goes in and it extends the VHD of the machine. This should be a virtual machine, of course. And then the next step, we need to connect to the machine and actually extend the partition. So what will happen here is that within maybe 20 seconds of the actual alert appearing here, the VHD and the partition has been extended. And then the free space is okay again. And then everybody says, oh, but this is not a good fix. I mean, if it then runs out of this space 2 minutes later and you extend the drive and runs out of this space 3 minutes later and you extend it again until you have a completely a large VHT which actually breaks the complete storage controller, I don't know. Not a good idea, but it's a really simple demo to actually see how you can remediate on an alert. And I'll show you afterwards how we can then get rid of this monitor in SMA. Yep, let's take a look at it. This one is stopped. Oh, that doesn't really matter. All right. So, in this example, maybe I can, for some reason it, ah, there we go. Think it's better now? Yep, because what we need to decide on when we have a system like SCUM, it doesn't have to be SCUM, it could be anything that you want to monitor. First thing you need to know is, how can we actually find out to only monitor for the new stuff? Well, a simple solution in SCUM is to actually mark everything that we actually process by using another resolution state. So what it says here is that it runs this loop as we did before, but in the middle of the loop, it actually goes to SCUM and it gets all the alerts where the resolution state is zero. This was actually in a, it's described in detail in one of the building clouds blocks, and it's maybe the simplest version of this example. And it works, it's fine, but I've seen many customers who uses this, this works as a page down and up too. I've seen many customers who actually use this resolution state to maybe send the alert to a specific group of people so that they see it in their console. So therefore, it might not be the best idea, because what if somebody is really quick and before this runbook actually discovers the new alert, somebody has changed the resolution state to something else. So what it happens is, of course, to go into get the alerts, and if it finds a new alert, it'll go in and update the alert so it gets a new resolution state, and then it will go in this line here to actually trigger the extension of the VM drive. But instead of showing this one, I'll go straight to the next one, which is the same scenario, but we are not using, you're not using the resolution state. Instead of using the resolution state, we'll go in and actually insert, down here, actually insert to search only alerts that has appeared, that has been raised in the system since we last checked. This is a much better way, in my opinion, to do it, because no matter what anybody does to the alert in the system, this will still trigger, because it says that we only get, we get it by the date and time. We don't have anything about resolution state or owner or ticket ID or whatever you could change in an alert. But if you wanted to do something like this in Classic Orchestrator, you didn't have anywhere to put this value, because what I need to do is, when I've checked for the alerts and found the alerts, what I actually do is to figure out when was the latest alert that I actually processed. I do this by a line here that sorts it in time raised and takes the last one, and I actually takes the time from the last alert that has been processed and puts in somewhere so I can use it in the next loop. Problem was in Classic Orchestrator that we didn't have a built-in system to save any data. Luckily in SMA, they have added this functionality to the automation variables. So this one called set automation variable, I can actually set a built-in variable, an asset in the SMA database, which I create myself, when it was last run. And I can actually insert the date in here. It's important to know if, yeah, question?
I have to do every time a loop, or can I trigger the execution of the SMA runbook from SCUM?
That's the next demo. But yeah, you'll see in a second. Because sometimes you don't have a system that can actually trigger something automatically. And then you would have to use this technique to connect to your ITSM system, to your other monitoring system, or whatever system that you can connect to from PowerShell, check something, and execute the action. Yep, but since you asked, I think I'm going to go straight. Instead of demoing this, I'm going to demo it in the last, as the last version. I just have a few. These, it didn't work anymore. I broke it? No, I don't think so. There we go. First of all, if you do any kind of monitors and you ask a system for something, always try to limit it to a minimum. I mean, if you ask for all the users in your Active Directory just to check if somebody got a new email address, that would be really stupid. So therefore, you should always limit to minimum. That means use time to, for example, only get the new stuff. And even if you get the new stuff, if you have possibility to select how much data you get, for instance, from AD, you can select if you only get first name, last name, or which properties you want, you should also limit that to a minimum. Everything should be minimum as possible. And then one solution is to mark the objects, update one of them with either custom field or whatever this object that you are monitoring has. Resolution state, for instance. The other one is to use the date time, which I showed. I use the time raised, but it could be in Active Directory, there's a property called when changed, so you can ask for all the users that has been changed since the last execution. But whenever I save this time into the assets, the time that I used, it will be converted into universal time. So you should remember that. Otherwise, I mean, I have done some pretty stupid demos when I did this one where it wasn't a universal time and it just triggered on all alerts and yeah, it was a mess. So therefore, you should know that they are universal time always. Another thing about this monitor is that if you have a lot of them connecting to the same system every 10 seconds, every 30 seconds, you can imagine how much load that puts on your system. So of course you should not try to have as less as possible of these monitors. And if you can and you have multiple of those, you should try to combine them into one. For instance, if it's alerts that I want to search for, maybe I could search every 30 seconds, but I can search for four different kinds of alerts instead of having four different monitors connecting to the same system. Yes, so consolidate. Or we can use other techniques to trigger the runbook. And that was exactly your question. Can't we just get SCUM to start the runbook so we don't need this monitor? And in SCUM, yes, we can, because we have the recovery action which is part of the agent in SCUM, which can be automatically executed whenever something happens. In the Service Manager, we could use the built-in workflows to trigger some PowerShell that could start the runbook every time something happens, like some specific incident has been created, for instance. So, of course, this is a much better situation if you can. If the system that you're actually monitoring, for example, SCUM, can actually go in and trigger this recovery action and then start the runbook using the web service. This has few advantages. Is of course you don't need these monitors running all the time. First, that's good, especially if you accidentally shut them off for some reason. And you don't put any load on the system unless something happens. Because again, if you have a monitor that checks every 30 seconds for an alert that happens every second month, then you have checked a million times before you even find one result. So you could use, if you want, the recovery action to actually trigger the runbook itself. Oops. Let's try it. Take a look at it. Yes. So you saw the runbooks and the monitors before, but now we go straight to the expand drive, VM drive runbook. And again, this is not meant as a solution to fix low disk space, but it could work as a temporary fix that you use in the middle of the night so that when the team actually gets to work in the morning, they can fix it otherwise. This is the most simple version, of course. You could also check, for instance, this doesn't check that the VHD get bigger than Hyper-V actually supports, which of course would be a good idea, which happened to me when I had done this demo too many times. It broke, and it was because the VHD was like 10 terabytes or something. Really big. Luckily, VHD doesn't fill up the space until there is actually data. Anyway, I'll go in And again, we can use these assets to save different information that I need to run this automation. First of all, I have a variable that contains how many percentage we want the disk to actually expand, so I can easily tweak that afterwards. We also have a variable that contains the name of the virtual manager server, virtual machine manager, and we have a credential which is also saved in the SMA database. That is the account that I want to connect as. It's the domain admin. Might not be good for your production too. Might want to use a specific service account to do specific jobs. But when it's demo like this, you don't want some service account. You just want the domain admin. So the first thing that happens is actually to connect to the machine itself that has the problem. Get the partition, get how big, figure out which disk is this, where is the disk connected, because then we can find the VHD file. Second step is to actually connect to my virtual machine manager and find the VHD file, figure out how big it should be, and then actually expand the virtual drive here. And as you can see, each of these blocks called the inline script, each of those contains some PowerShell commands or commandlets. And in here, you see in the end that it actually sets to connect to the virtual machine manager server and use the credential that I just got from the asset store. When the virtual hard drive is extended, we can then connect to the client computer again. This one that has the problem, and then we can resize the partition, and it actually extends itself. Yes. Next up, I'll find the monitor that we use for this. It's a built-in monitor called the logical disk free space. And in here, I've actually inserted these. Whoops. Oh, sorry. I just need. Yep. So as you can see down here, I have these recovery actions. One called trigger SMA, and I have one called trigger Azure automation. These examples that I create today is made in SMA, but we could easily transfer them to Azure Automation because they are, yeah, they work. The extend VM drive will work directly in Azure Automation if you want to. In here, I actually just have a command. Can be a little hard to see here, but it's just a command to start PowerShell. It starts PowerShell and it uses the start SMA runbook command to go to my SMA server and start the expand VM drive. But the trick here is, of course, that SCUM can automatically insert different values from the alert itself or the source that actually created the alert. So in the parameters here, I can actually send using this weird token from SCUM can actually pick up the DNS name of the computer and send it to the runbook. I can also, from the alert itself, get the actual drive name right here. Luckily, when I create these things, that SCUM has actually this helper where I can actually select the values and it will insert the value I want. So when you create a recovery action, it will by default be enabled on all all objects. So this means that, whoops, they didn't have to save it. Hopefully I didn't break it. So anyway, when it's created, it will be enabled on all disks, on all your agents that are monitoring this alert using this monitor. So the first thing I want to do is to actually go in and disable it everywhere. So you can see by right now it's disabled on all my logical drives. So what I want to do now is to actually add an override that can go in on a specific object. I can then pick up the exact computer, which is my demo one machine, and it's the E drive that I want to use this on. We set it up and we actually enable it on that one. There we go. So now you can see over here we have something called the effective value. It was true or false before. Whoops. There we go. It was true or false before, but now it's true instead because I enabled it. Now I just have to wait a little bit. It takes maybe, I don't know, 30 seconds up to a minute for it to actually load it on the machine here. And here I have a drive, the new volume. Let's just check in here. I can actually see in the event log that it's ready. All right, Ops Manager. So what you always want to look for is whenever you update something in Scum is that you want this event ID 1012 to happen, because this is when it has gotten its new configuration, which some of the other messages says. And when it has its new configuration, the new configuration is ready. So I can see it is ready now. Then I have a small command to actually fill up the hard drive. Again, I'm using PowerShell to create one large file that will leave 200 megabyte free. So if I run this, it'll create a file, and you see now it's completely full drive with 7 gigabytes. And what happens now is that the agent will discover this. It will go back to Scum, and it will create an alert. Actually, I need to be a little quick here, if I want to show it to you, because it fixes itself. See, here we go. The actual alert, the actual monitor has found out, whoops, there is low disk space. Yeah. And we have the alert here. And unless I was too quick in my explanation before, it should be all right when I saw that ID. Go in here in the SMA and actually look at the jobs. And it's not triggered. What I should see in here is that when I select my health monitor, I should see that one of these actions down here had already been triggered. For some reason, it's not. And I suspect that that I was a little bit quick before, because the new configuration might not have reached it anyways. There might have come an even newer. I thought the event I showed you before, right here, I thought that was the new configuration, but it was actually from earlier, from when I saved it the first time, where I accidentally saved the alert. So you see, now it's actually been enabled. Now we can do it. Luckily, it's really quick to retry. So I'll just go in, delete my file. And now we just have to wait for it to actually discover it, which doesn't take that long. See, it's actually discovered it now in my environment. And if I fill it up again, you'll see that it will actually trigger the alert again. There will become a new alert, and this new alert will trigger the recovery action. Just a second. Yep. Always take longer when you're up here. There we go. And as you can see here, it's better result, because now it's triggered the alert and it had the new configuration that says that it should run this automatically when it happens. So it started the runbook, and we can actually see the runbook job ID here. And if I go to the portal, you'll see that there is a running runbook right here, which actually received the computer name and the name of the disk, which can trigger the runbook itself. And now we should see that the drive, yeah, it has already been extended by 20% to a bigger drive, and now it runs without the service which were using the drive, that maybe the service would crash if it ran out of disk space. But as I said, of course, you can trigger Azure Automation too. I have two sessions about Azure Automation where I'll go into details about how that service works. But it's the exact same runbook as we have in here. And in the other sessions, I'll mention a little bit more about what differences there can be. Yep. All right. But again, the problem is not fixed. This is kind of like putting a, I don't know, you put a bandage on, but you're still bleeding below. I mean, it might be a problem that will, in this specific demo, that could happen again and again. So you would, of course, go in and check if it had happened. Maybe you email somebody, you create an incident that actually shows that, hey, I automatically fixed this, but you need to go in and find the source of the problem instead. And then, did I cheat? I cheated a little bit, because normally it would check every 15 minutes to see if the disk space is free low. So you will have to wait here for maybe 15 minutes before you will see it. So I changed it to 5 seconds. But other than that, it's standard setup. There's nothing special in that one. All right. Let me just check the time. Yep. So for the last demo here is I want to show something with Service Manager. I do a lot of Service Manager myself, but this could actually be done in other ITSM systems or other CMDB systems that they are using. In Service Manager, we are able to connect all the different systems from all the different components of System Center into the Service Manager and then connect or put all our stuff in there. So for instance, collections from Config Manager can be automatically created in Service Manager. There can also be stuff like you can get all the users from Active Directory. And of course, if you have your own systems that isn't supported directly by Service Manager, we can fairly easy create a runbook that can actually do it. So for instance, in the case of transferring the collections from Config Manager into a Service Manager, I needed some more data than it actually provides. So what I did instead was to create a runbook here that actually runs every hour or every day, connects to Config Manager and creates the collections in there. Also have many examples of different Active Directory connectors to get group memberships or whatever you want. Therefore, for that, Orchestrator and SMA is a really good choice. The last demo, I should get started on that one, is this one. We have a runbook, of course. And then we have a form in the self-service of the Service Manager. In this form, the user is able to type in the MAC address of a computer and also to select which type the computer is. So what we want to happen is when they type in this, first of all, we want to import the machine into Service Manager. This gives us the possibility to actually, if we want to, attach the machine to the order form so we can see it later in reports. It will automatically be updated whenever it gets information from Config Manager and so on, so we already have the machine in our CMDB. Next up, we import the machine into Config Manager, and depending on which computer type we selected out here in the form, we'll also add it to a specific collection. This collection can then have an advertisement that says any computer in this collection should have a specific operation system installed. So therefore, what happens here is that anybody can take a computer, anybody who has access to the self-service form, can take the computer, type in the MAC address, select the type, it will be added to the Config Manager, and they can install it automatically. So of course, for the demo, I just want to use this to actually type in the MAC address. It's a barcode scanner, and you probably know that many laptops or servers, for instance, have barcodes that has the MAC address. And instead of bringing an extra laptop or server from Denmark, I brought a little paper with a barcode that actually has a MAC address. So, yeah, actually it was right here. But some situations, they add extra text. In this case, it's a Lenovo machine for some reason. And if anybody has an answer to that, I would like to hear it, is that they add 23S in front of all the MAC addresses. I don't know why, but they actually do that in this barcode. So of course, things like this where we need to modify the input a little bit, we can easily do that in the runbook. Yes, let's try it. All right. So again, I have a couple of runbooks to do this. One of them is the main starting point, which is called the new SCCM import computer. It's pretty hard to say quickly. But this one is actually the one that will be triggered by Service Manager. So what I've done here is to use our partner GridPro's SMA connector. There is two on the market, one from GridPro and one from Cyrosun. Both of them could work here. So it's a matter of a decision which one you like the best. But what it can do here is actually to synchronize, at least this one works like that. We synchronize our runbooks into Service Manager. And we can see the one that I just showed. Oh, flat. There we go. It's right here. It's synchronized into Service Manager. When it's synchronized in here, I can actually add it to a template. Import computer. Whoops, that's not the right one. I can create a service request template in Service Manager, and in here I can put in all the different information about which area is responsible. I can even add my own fields. This is even with a Danish text. It might not be make sense. I can select groups. I can actually set in a specific person that is assigned to the whenever this type of service request is created. In the activities in here, I can then trigger my runbook. So whenever somebody goes to the self-service portal, orders some, fills out the form, Service Manager will, based on this template, create a service request, and the service request will start the runbook. When we start the runbook, we can then send in information, such as the MAC address, as you can see right here, which is actually the different parameters that I have defined in my runbook, which is in here. So you see, this runbook has four parameters, and it actually shows up in here, and I can put in different information into those. When I've created the template, I go in and create the actual form. In the form, I have two questions. I have a question called type, which computer type is it? And I have a MAC address field where you can type in the MAC address. And if I wanted to, I could have even put in stuff that would limit people to not be able to not type in a correct MAC address. See, this would actually force them to actually type a correct MAC address before they submit. And then we can discuss regular expression forever if anybody is an expert in that. But that's not really fun. So we'll go to the next step here, is that the type that I want to select, as I said, it's just a collection from Config Manager. So I've selected what's called the collection info class to actually show as a question. And if I go into my configuration items, I can show that I created these collections in Config Manager. CM collections here. It's very simple, this example. So it just has the name of the collection, the name of the collection, and the collection ID. Because the collection ID is what Configuration Manager uses to actually identify the collection. And the collection name is what I want to show to the user so they can select which type of computer it is. So of course these collections, they exist in my config manager in here. Here we go, device collections. You see DK clients, SE clients, and I can then show you that the DK client has no members right now. No rules here. So whenever this is triggered, the first thing that we want to do here, and I should mark it here, is first of all, as I said, if I want to format the input in some way, for instance, remove this S23 in front of it, put in these colons that needs to be there for config manager to understand it, I can do that in this code here. Next up, what I need to do when I have a new PC in my environment is to get a computer number for the PC, and it should get a name, auto-generated name. So in this case, again, we can use the automation variables in SMA to actually go in and save. First of all, when we load the number, the next number we need to give the computer, and when we have given the computer a name, generated a name, we can then go back and set the number to the next number in the row, as you can see here. Let me just show that to you here. Because the last thing that I have, it's really zoomed out suddenly. Yep. This is the assets that I have in my SMA environment, and as you can see, I can have credentials and stuff like that. But I can also save the number, the next number in the row. We can just check that it's number 72. So it's been tested a few times. Or 70. And the second one is more interesting because I also need to give the computer a name. And usually you would have some name that would be It's because it's not Danish layout, so when I try to click plus, it clicks minus instead. But as you can see, the value of a variable that I've made called the template for the computer name, it says PC, and then it has this little token that says you should insert the number here, and you should always have 8 numbers. So usually you would have a server name or a prefix, and then you would have maybe 5, maybe 6, or 7, or 8, digits that would show the number of the PC. So of course we can change this name here. You can also write something afterwards if you want to. I can save this easy in my assets, like that. And then in here, in the runbook itself, I can go in and pick up the template and use standard formatting, actually these two lines. First it goes in, picks up the template, and then it uses standard formatting in PowerShell to actually insert the number in the template. And we'll actually end up with the computer name. Then we add the computer to Service Manager. Again, there's a specific runbook for that. I'm not going to go into details there. And also have a specific runbook for adding the computer into Config Manager. And I should say, if you download these runbooks from me, this runbook here contains refreshing all systems in Config Manager. And if anybody works in Config Manager, that is the number one no-go you can never do. That's because if you add a new computer to Config Manager, it will take up to 5 minutes before it actually shows in Config Manager. And again, we don't have time to wait for that. So therefore, I've put in one line with warnings and everything saying, we refresh the all systems collection. What happens in Config Manager is that it will refresh every collection in the system when we do it. That's why you don't want it to happen in your production environment. Yes. Let's go here. I find this is the Cyrosun self-service portal. It works in any self-service portal out there. And I can open my import computer. Oh, sorry, I timed out while talking. I see I only have 1 minute. but it doesn't take long to register a computer. So as you can see, first question is to actually select the collection or the computer type, DK, clients, MAC address. I then use my barcode scanner to scan it, and this could be the guy in the who receives the packages, for instance. And you can save this service request. So you can see I got a service request number here. It'll go in and actually create and start the runbook. Right in here. Just a second. Starts the job here. Always takes a little while. Let's see. Oops, that was the wrong one. Yep. Here we go. Should execute in just a second. Let's just see. What is it there? 1997. See, it has created the case here. Thing is that everything in Service Manager happens using some workflows, so it gets triggered every minute or every second minute, and you can see here it has started. So now we have the runbook also starting here, and you should see that it generates a name, and I'm using the write output in the PowerShell. If you use that command, that you will write output. Yeah, you will write some text to the output, and it'll appear here which name it got and so on. PK clients. And you can see already, if I look at the collection that was supposed to have the computer, it has already been created, the computer SCU, a lot of zeros and a 72, and it has actually added the computer in here. So if I just refresh my list here, you'll see that the computer is added to the correct collection. And you'll also see in here that the configuration item for the computer has been created. Right in here, Windows computer, and this means that system now knows the computer, computer name and so on, and when the Active Directory collector goes in and actually triggers, and it will then update the information about this computer, also the configuration manager connector. See the MAC address, it was inserted correct here, and everything is created as supposed to. So if I go as the end user back to my portal, you should see that either it's almost finished or it is already completed, or it's not completed yet. But it's just because it's waiting, because again, it checks in a specific interval to see if it's completed. Yep. As I said, there is two on the market. There is Grid Pro and there is the Cyrosun. Both of them works in slightly different ways, but they could both be used for the same example here. And again, what could we do? We could extend it so we can actually upload a form or a list of computers. We could add other properties so they could actually select which user it's for and create primary users in a config manager, serial number, any other details. We could use, for example, Cyrosun Asset Management. Maybe I have an extra S there. Cyrosun Asset Management to actually create a hardware asset that contains even more information about what we're about to set up. Yep. And just the final few things is best practice, always code in modules. So you create a runbook to actually trigger, for instance, a check for new alerts, and you have another runbook to fix the problem, you have another runbook to run the loop itself, and so on. Yep. Yes, and as I mentioned before, you could have one single runbook to monitor the scum, and then you can trigger other runbooks or dispatch the work to other runbooks to actually to do the job. Yep. Again, you should put error handling in there, use the try-catch functionality, but that's about it. I have some links here for my blog and for the Building Clouds blog, and if you want some really nice wiki for SMA, there is a link here for that, started by Ryan Andorfer, and there's a lot of good information in there. But otherwise, I would look forward if you come to some of my Azure Automation sessions, and there's multiple other sessions about SMA and Azure Automation in this conference. Yeah. And of course, final thing is that we want your feedback. So please tell me if it was good or bad. And if you say it's bad, then tell me what's missing. But otherwise, thank you for today.